on the telephone line, our friend, the multi-talented sportscaster, actor, author, podcast host, man about town, Gary Tangway. Hello, Gary.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Richie, how you
doing? Just great. I would ask how your day's going, but it sounds like it took a nasty turn there.
Oh, not really nasty. It's just you mentioned everything I attempt to do, and one thing I'm terrible at is scheduling my life. And I was in the middle of a Zoom of screen time with my friend with Giuliano when Carrie called, and I went, oh, crap. I double booked. Because I had you in at 5:30 on my phone, but you had told me 4:30. So that is a typical Tangway move.
Oh.
But I will tell you, we were reviewing The Bear. Have you seen The Bear on Hulu?
Yes, I have. I like it. I like it a lot.
I loved it. Oh, my God, I loved it. I the ending blew me away.
I haven't seen that yet, so no spoilers. No, we're plugging your ears.
No spoilers. No. But the ending is one of those things where you're like, wait a minute. Huh? And then you're like, oh, okay. And you go back. And I love it. It's great. There's something about food shows, though. You know, Rich, I mean, there's something that never gets old. It's like Kitchen Confidential is a great book with Anthony Bourdain. And there's just something about the kitchen and food, and I don't know. That always holds up.
Well, speaking of that, did you see the movie The Menu?
You know what? Drew saw it. He hated it. Did you like it?
I liked it a lot. It was pretty dark. Funny. It was over the top, but I thought it was great. I loved Ralph Fiennes in it. And John Leguizamo, I thought, was very good in it.
It's so funny because what's great about streaming, there's so much out there, and people are pushing the envelope. And you have time, and the creative process just benefits from streaming so much. So funny, Drew was like, we have to talk about This Menu, because I thought I couldn't stand it. And then I talked to you, and you go, oh, it's pretty good. I think it's hilarious. It's great. I mean, there's something for everybody. I mean, it really is. It's my old friends at network television are not too happy with it, but, you know, oh well.
I was asking our movie reviewer, Alan Adams, the other day. He had not seen Tar yet. What did you think of it?
Tar was, the acting is phenomenal. Todd Fields, I'm generally a fan of. The ending I hated. The ending I was like, what? Now, spoiler alert, for people. It's really hard, I think, nowadays to hold people's attention. And what Fields does so well is his scenes are long. I mean, with Cate Blanchett, I mean, the acting's great. She holds you, man. She captivates you where, like, I mean, Rich, like, if you know, your kids watching Avengers, I mean, all these scenes are like 30 seconds. Edit, cut, 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 close up, you know. And this is a film where they stay wide for like 5 minutes, you know, where the dialogue carries you, the acting carries you, the mood carries you. And I was like, wow, these are long scenes, but, you know, I'm into it. Like, I find her compelling. I don't know if I like her or not. And at the end, I just thought he got silly. You know, I mean, at the end, obviously, he, you know, again, this is a woman who is the conductor of the Berlin Symphony, and she basically has a nervous breakdown because of her past and the way she has sexually assaulted people. And then she ends up conducting this, spoiler alert, this, what, I don't even know what it was. In Australia somewhere? Some cracked up theater? I don't even know. I didn't even understand it. Did you?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
No,
oh,
no.
I destroyed it for you. I'm sorry. you know what? You know why? You have to watch. I mean, hell, you're retired, for Christ's sake. You got time. I mean, you got to watch it, because you got to tell me whether you like the ending or not.
All right.
I mean, I don't really understand the ending. I mean, I do, but I was like, eh. But you got to watch it just to tell me if you like the ending.
Yeah. What else have you seen lately that you really liked?
Oh, Two Leslie, dude. Leslie's phenomenal. Riseborough's amazing. Marin's great.
Where did you see it? Did you see it in a theater? I don't think. Is it streaming anywhere? Oh, it is.
I think it's on Apple. Yeah,
oh, okay.
I think it's on Apple. Yeah, and the director, I think, is married to Mary McCormick.
Yes. Yep, that's right.
She got on a big social media thing. And a lot of people, because the distributor did a crappy job of marketing it. That's the problem with a lot of this stuff, is some good stuff goes unseen. It's great. Marin's, you know, Marin has a southern accent, which took me about 30 seconds to get used to. But he plays a character that's different from what we've seen from him before. And, you know, listen, there's no doubt that, like, he gets parts because his podcast is huge. It brings attention to the projects he's in. But the guy's delivering.
He's a very good actor, I think.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, I liked him in Glow. You know, and the thing about his podcast is he almost apologizes for it. He goes, you know, I'm figuring it out. I did the best I can. Two Leslie's terrific. I hope it wins. I'm so glad she got nominated. It's just good old-fashioned independent filmmaking, Rich, where there are no dissolves, there are no fancy edits, it's just straight cuts. I mean, there's a scene where she's just, like, in tears, sitting on the ground. That's just so powerful. I mean, you know, it's just great. It's like this movie in the 70s, to me, this is going to be a big Tanguay going crazy here. This movie in the 70s would be right up there with all the great films of, well, Norma Rae was probably in the 80s, but, you know, like Silkwood and,
oh, yeah,
you know, Dog Day Afternoon, yeah, and, you know, just that independent.
Well, you and I were talking about this on the phone the other day, but, you know, the indie films now fill that niche that used to be filled by the studios of telling the stories of real people, because all the studios want to do is crank out comic book and superhero franchises.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no question. And that's, you know, there's still a place for it. I do think that, like, on screen time, you know, like Drew talks about, like, The Bear, you know, it'd be very hard, like The Bear, it'd be very hard to make that into a film. So there's definitely that streaming holds a place, you know, for these multi-episodes, you know, 6, 8, 10 episodic series that really take you through a journey. Whereas I think now the independent films, you know, it's going to be a microscopic rifle shot approach to a plot. You know, like you're not, because we're so spoiled by all the details that go into a 6 or 8 episodic series you see on Hulu or Apple or whatever. When you see a film, you can't get that detail, so it has to be a small plot. You know what I mean? Which a lot of these independent films are. I mean, this thing to Leslie's, this poor woman is just, she's just trying to get back on her feet. You know, the simple stories are always the best, right? She's just trying to get back on her feet. She's trying to make good with her kid, and that's it. So they can do that in 2 hours, right? You know, where, you know, you see some films, like, I mean, I was in it, the Whitney Houston movie, you know, for like 8 seconds or whatever. It's really hard to tell the story. And, you know, Casey Cummins, she did a great job with it. It's really hard to tell the story of Whitney Houston from age 17 to, you know, when she died in her late 40s in like 2.5 hours when you're seeing all these things on streaming that take 10 hours to do it, you know. But if you just take a real simple story with great acting and not overdone filmmaking, that's how you do it, I think.
Hey, tell us about the collaboration that you're in that's coming out later this year.
You know, I have no idea how this movie's going to... you know, they did it in London. Kwame's the director. He did it in London. It's going to Broadway. The acting, I mean, they've got some great actors. I mean, just look on it's, you know, Paul Bettany, you know, who some people will know from, like, what is he, Vision with the Avengers, you know? And he's married to Jennifer Connelly, who was, like, great in Top Gun. But, like, you know, I look at a guy like Paul Bettany, and he makes a ton of money doing the Avengers, but, you know, he gets to play Andy Warhol.
Yeah, we talked with one of the actors in the Broadway show, Eric Jensen.
Oh, what did he say about it?
Well, he loves it. He plays the guy, the art dealer, Bruno Bischofberger, who got the two of them together.
Okay, see, that's that guy could tell you more than me. I mean, because they didn't give me the whole script, but, you know, I got a chance. I play an auctioneer who can't sell Warhol's stuff. It's when he's down and out. But, you know, Jeremy Pope is the other actor who, you know, he and Warhol, you know, their worlds intertwine as artists. And I find Andy Warhol fascinating just because he's he's just so, I'm failing on the word, but I mean, he's just, you know, people love him or hate him. I mean, some people go, it's Andy Warhol. I mean, that's soup can, like, legendary. And other people go, it's a piece of crap. What are you talking about? So, you know, I mean, he's just, I don't know what to think about him. Like, I sit there and I think about Andy Warhol as, if he was just, if he didn't have the whole shtick, right, with the hair and the whole hanging out with all the stars and hanging out in the village and all that and did 15 minutes of fame, you know, would we have loved his art? I have no idea. People that support him say that he was a great artist. And people that his detractors are just they think he's completely overblown and just a caricature.
But he understood that you know, art was can be ephemeral, and that part of being a successful artist, however you interpret that, was selling yourself, and nobody was better than Warhol at doing that.
I suppose, and whatever you create, if you get people to talk about it, that's got to be a success.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's basically what it is, right, Rich? I mean, whether you write a book or whether you do a film or whether you, you know, create a painting or anything, a mural on the side of a building or a sculpture, if people talk about it, that's what you want. You want people to absorb it, discuss it, process it. That's art. So I guess you have to say he was successful.
I mean, right, but I want to go back to something. So you said you play an auctioneer. They finally gave you a chance to do something other than being a reporter?
Oh, my God. Thank God. I mean, I was just so psyched. I mean, I talked to an agent the other day in New York. People don't care about my play, but you know, I was like, how do I get to be a lawyer or a detective? And they go, turn down the roles of being a reporter. I go, well, I'm not that dumb. I'm not going to do that. Because that's how you meet people in your network. Yeah, I get to play an auctioneer, and it's at the low port for Andy. So I'm like, anyone, will give me, you know, 10 bucks, anyone? And, you know, there's nothing. But I think it's going to be real. I'm very interested to see it. I'm very curious to see how it goes, how the film goes.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep our eyes open for that. Gary Tanguay is with us here on Downtown. Did the Tom Brady retirement surprise you, or did you see it coming?
Wow, good question. It surprised me because I thought he was going to go try to play with the Raiders, Josh. I thought he was going to hang on too long. I was pleasantly surprised, and I was actually happy for him because I think he knew he could not perform at the level he needed to be satisfied with himself, and he wasn't going to be Willie Mays. Because it's obvious this year he wasn't as dedicated, and his skills had diminished. Because the Brady that we were accustomed to could take a team like that Tampa team and make them better. Mm. You know? And I think he realized that he's just not going to be happy with the level of his physical ability to compete. So I thought he did the right thing. I thought his message was great, and I thought it was awesome. I just, you know, there are always going to be the Brady. Yeah, people in New England, it's what makes it a great sports area. But I was, you know, some people are like, F Brady, this. I go, come on, man, get over it. I mean, you had Mozart. You had the greatest football player of all time for 20 years. Just embrace it, man. Are you kidding me? I mean, embrace it. Good for him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what did you think? Were you surprised?
A little bit, only because he obviously still had something left in the tank. And yeah, and I thought, he does not want to end his career like this. But I think he also realized, you know, it wasn't going to get any better anytime soon. And whether it was with the Raiders, the 49ers maybe, but I suspect that Shanahan didn't want to share the spotlight that much. So, yeah, it was never going to get to the point of what he wanted it to be, to have that perfect ending. And you don't really get to have that much in sports.
Well, I think, you know, Peyton Manning probably had the best one. And I think that Brady was approaching the situation where he had to be on a team like Manning, where Manning said that, you know, that I didn't win this Super Bowl. And everybody knows he could barely throw. The defense won that Super Bowl of Von Miller. And, you know, I think Brady needed to be on a team like that. You know, maybe San Francisco would have been a fit if Shanahan wasn't the coach, but those two were never going to get along.
No.
And I think if he goes to the Raiders, he probably ends up getting destroyed. And
yeah, I think so.
I think he had to be in a, I think you're right. He had to be in a perfect situation, but he did it great, you know, and people think he's going to suck on TV. And here's the one thing I learned about that guy, after being around him. I'm not going to say that I'm tight with him. I'm not. Talk to him a little bit. He doesn't do anything half-assed.
Right.
He does not. That TB12 thing, I don't know if it's working or not, but he was all in. This movie, the Brady for 80, he's in it. He was all in. So he is going to throw himself in 110% into that Fox job when he gets there. And if he's smart, he'll learn what Romo hopefully is learning now, is just stick to the facts of the game.
Right.
You know, that's all. Just stick to the facts of the game. Don't try to be an entertainer. Don't try to overdo it. There was only one John Madden.
That's right. Just
talk about the game.
You care at all about the Super Bowl?
I'm going to see some old friends. I'm going to see some old DU buddies.
Nice.
That's what I can. Yeah, Shep and the fellas. And
wow.
Jake and some of those guys that you probably remember or choose not to. That's what I care about.
By the way, I was working out with Tim McLeod today. He said to make sure to say hello to you.
Oh, God. One of the all-time greats.
Hey, so speaking of all-time greats, before we let you go here, we're talking with Gary Tagway. See, I mean, you've worked with some big people in the movie business. You know, Ryan Johnson, we're doing a scene with Rosamund Pike and the many talented people you've worked with. Is there one person, director, actor, that you really hope you get the chance to work with down the road?
Oh, boy. Adam McKay's terrific. Ryan Johnson is, too. But, you know, Adam McKay was... But he's just the best. So it's just like, you know, it's a tie between Ryan Johnson and Adam McKay because they both let you just kind of do your thing. I mean, even though I was in a very limited way. But McKay, it's a playland. It's like recess. You know, with Ryan, it was very brief. I mean, it was just a short thing. But I shot with 3 days with Adam McKay. And the crew's in a great mood. Everybody knows what they're doing. And it's like recess. It's like he tries anything. Try it this way. Try it that way. Rich, do it standing on your head. You know what I mean? I mean, what could be better than that? It's great.
That's awesome. Well, we'll look forward to the collaboration and more from Gary Tagway. Hopefully that second book coming down the road as well.
Oh, God, boy, I got writer's block. I don't know.
You'll get it back. You'll get it back, my man.
Yeah, sure I will. Yeah,
all right. Okay.
All right, bud, thanks.
Gary, good talking with you. Check out the Screen Time podcast as well with Gary and Drew Yano.